Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Amen. In Galatians, now we're only going to look at one or two verses in Galatians. One verse in Galatians. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Word of God says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A few years ago, my mother-in-law died. She went home to be with the Lord. I knew her for about, I guess it was about 18 or 19 years. And you know, it seemed like she would be around forever. I mean, you know that's not the case. But that's just the way it seems. There is no separation there. But a few years ago, she died. She went home to be with the Lord. I saw her die. And the time came when she went home. And there was a time for that. The time was ordained by God. Nobody can go home until God says, now it is time. A few years ago, also, a couple of years prior to this, as a matter of fact, my friend Tony went home to be with the Lord. Tony was a young man. He had a daughter who was 15 and another daughter who was 7. And the world would say it was an untimely death. In truth, there is no such thing as an untimely death, because the issues from death belong to the Lord. That means the escape from the boundary of this land. And it talks about death as a geographical boundary. And its escape belongs to the Lord. And it is not possible for me to cross that boundary until God says, it is time. And when God says it is time, nothing will prevent me from crossing that boundary. It is a border of a land. When I die, I go to a different country. The country's name is New Jerusalem. It is in heaven. It will come down. We know it is heaven. It is different than the New Jerusalem that will be here. But the idea is basically the same. It is a land. In this land, there are houses and streets. There are animals. There are people. There is food. There are trees and rivers. Now, the fullness of time comes, and things will happen. When my mother-in-law died, she died on June 18th of 2002. It was 5 minutes after 1. The time had been set. There is a time that is set for everything. When the fullness of time came, Christ was born of a woman. When the fullness of time came, Christ died. When the fullness of time came again, He rose again. When the fullness of time came, He was resurrected. When the fullness of time came, we were born, and then we will die. And it will all be in the fullness of time. It will be God's time. No other time is possible. God will not give anybody this. Because what God had created nobody can uncreate. Nobody can undo it. God had given life, and God can take life, but only God. Nobody else. When someone dies, it is God who has done it. Plain and simple. A person may commit suicide, God forbid, but a person may commit suicide, but God still has to allow that thing, that bullet, that drug, whatever it may be, to take that person's life. It is the fullness of time. Our life is a vapor. And the end will come, and the date has been set. It is known in eternity. People who have gone through near-death experiences and come back say that their friends have come back to see them. They meet them. That means that they knew the day. Perhaps they knew ahead of time. Perhaps they were only informed, told, notified, however it works, when it was about to happen. But I'm not so sure. I think they know ahead of time. I think God will share it with them because He is intimate. My mother-in-law, before she died, and this was approximately, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months before she went home. About 2 months, I think. She had gone to a rehabilitation hospital. She died after having broken her ankle. She almost severed it. It was hanging on by a little bit of skin. But because her health was already poor, that injury, combined with some more things that had taken place in the hospital, and some health issues she already had, that injury, she could not overcome it. And so she went home. But she had been in a rehabilitation hospital, and she was very ill because she was prescribed the wrong type of medication, or too much of it or something. And her blood was becoming very, very dangerously thin to where she was dying. And she said that she saw her mother in the room. She wasn't someone who was given to fantasy or strange thoughts. She was a very down-to-earth lady, a very intelligent woman with a great deal of character. And so she wasn't given to strange thoughts. So when she said that she saw her mother, I believe her. There are other people who have had similar experiences, not quite that one, but similar experiences, where they have seen a loved one who had departed. And her mother was pacing the room. I don't know, but my thinking is that her mother was waiting. She knew it was coming. I am certain that when she went home to be with the Lord, her mother met her at the gate. The fullness of time had come. I like that book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. The man said that his loved ones beckoned him to come into the gate. He did not. It was not God's will. But he felt that if he had chosen to do so, he could have. I don't know. But clearly, in my mother-in-law's case, the fullness of time had come. And I'm sure that her mother and her father, both of whom I believe were beautiful Christians, had met her there along with other family members and friends who had gone home. And they had beckoned her to come into the gate, and she entered. One of the things that man saw past the gate was the street of gold. There are many of those in heaven. And the fullness of time came. My wife had seen her in a dream, in a vision. Now, I'm not one to believe in dreams and visions too much, but I do believe they happen on rare occasion, and I think that this was a real one, because she needed to see her because she was mourning her mom. And her mother was sorry to speak to her, and she said to her, "I'm so happy." And then she started chattering, like she wanted to tell her all about it. But God would not allow that. There are things when Paul was stoned to death, went to the third heaven, he saw things that God would not allow him to repeat on earth. There is a fullness of time. And there is a season for everything. Where believers, I think, get in trouble is when they go contrary to the season. You see, there are things that are that happen in our lives for which there is a season, and then the season is over, and a new season comes. Like in Ecclesiastes 3, it says there is a time for peace and a time for war. And there is a time for peace, but sometimes the time for peace is over. And it comes a time for war, and then sometimes the time for war is over, and there comes a time for peace. In a believer's life, there will be seasons where we need to let go of the former season. It is a change that we may not welcome. Young people, I believe, are like this. Their youth is escaping them. Sometimes they don't want to let it go. Adulthood is coming their way. They don't want to step into that doorway. They don't want to step across that threshold. Because they think that somehow they will lose. Maybe they feel like they will lose that comfort and security. Or maybe they feel like they will lose some of that innocence that maybe they realize they have and they enjoy it. Maybe they feel like they will lose that place in their family. And so they try to hold things that are no longer to be held. There is a season to be young, but that season does not last. It is fleeting. And this is the way God has designed it. When that season is over, we have to let it go. If we do not let it go, then we will not live a healthy life. Parents sometimes can be like this also with their children. There is a season that a child is a child, and there is a season when the child is not a child anymore. If that parent holds on to that child, I think this is really common, for example, when someone gets married. Their parents do not want them to grow up. They want them to remain in the former season. But that is not healthy. In the proper time, in the proper order, that is fine. That is healthy and it is right. But when it is over, it is no longer healthy and it is no longer right. If I am to walk with God, then I have to walk with God in the proper season. See, there is a time as a believer where I simply stay, receive, be fed. And then there is a time that I do not do that anymore alone. Now, in the case of a believer, I will always need to be fed the Word of God. But there is a point where I start perhaps to feed others. Paul said, when it was time for you to feed others, you still had need of being fed. It was not a good thing. The pitfall for the believer is a refusal to go into a new season. If I refuse to go into the new season, I will not have a rich walk with God. I will hold on to a memory, I will hold on to a thought, a feeling, but I will not be holding on to God. God will lead me to places I do not understand. Perhaps there are places I don't want to go, but I must go there. Because if I do not go there, God is going without me. Now, He will never leave me and He will never forsake me, but He is going. And if I want to have the experience of that fellowship with God in a moment-by-moment basis, I have to go with Him. Be careful not to hold on to seasons that have passed. They are no longer your life. Be careful not to look too far into the future for seasons that have not yet arrived, because you don't know what is coming. I don't know what is the will of God for my life 5-10 years from now. Some things perhaps I may have a glimmer of, but I have found in my own life that every time I think I have figured it out, I am exactly wrong. It is not that. And sometimes by sight it makes perfect sense that this should be it, but it was not. Walk with God in the moments, and don't be afraid of the seasons. Don't be afraid to let them go. And when a new one comes, don't be afraid to embrace it. There is a time where God had me be young. If I was to hold on to that youth, I would be childish. Now that is not to say I have to have an old spirit, but that is to say I have to grow with God. Preferably I will have a young spirit all my life, but I will not stay in the same place. When a young person's youth starts to walk away from them, starts to escape them, they cannot chase after it. They have to simply let it go. Because that which is coming is not worse than that which was. It is not better either. Some young people can't wait to become older. Neither one is good. Walk where you are with God in the moment. But when the season comes, don't fight it. There are seasons when I get saved where I start to leave behind the things of the world. For a season of time, when a person becomes a new believer, God will tolerate, He will allow them to have some worldly habits. Not that He desires these, He does not, but He will deal with them according to their capacity. And as He deals with them, He increases their capacity through the Word of God so that the old worldly things fall away and the things of God enter. Some believers hold on to the old worldly things because they do not believe that the things of God are better. Some believers hold on to the old worldly things because they have never been fed the Word of God. And that's a different situation. When I walk with God, I have to let go of the former season. God will not tolerate that forever. He will not be harsh with me, but He will remove it from me. God will not tolerate me being a child forever. He will not be harsh with me, but He will remove it from me. Can you imagine if the Savior, when He was 12 years old, went into the temple if he had stayed at 12 years old in the temple. It would not have been a good thing. That season is important, and so is its change. Because in the change of the season is where I enter a new phase of my growth with God. In the change of the season is how I walk through the plan of God. Now, some things may never change. Perhaps I will stay called, for example, to the same church. Or maybe I am a missionary and God will call me there for the rest of my life. Or maybe He will call me there for a time and then bring me home again or go send me somewhere else. Some things may change, some things may not. But if I do not grow, if I do not change as a believer, if I do not learn to go from grace to grace, faith to faith, then I am a believer who does not have the life of God in him. You see, why is it that my youth escapes me? Because I have life in me. Why is it that a believer must change? Not change his faith, but grow deeper into that faith. When I was a young believer, God gave me some challenges. But they are not the same challenges that He will give me today. And the reason is because I am not the same believer. I am different. If He does not do that, I will not have life in me. I think as believers, sometimes we have a problem with this. We don't want the change of the season. As people, not just as believers, we don't necessarily want the change of the season. We are all going home. We may as well just get this straight now. We are all going home. The question is, how long will it take us to get there? But regardless of how long it takes us to get there, we are all going home. The world is not my resting place. The world is simply where my feet are planted. But I am not really here, because I have been seated above in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. The seasons are simply steps that God takes me through as I'm walking home. If I change with the seasons, then God will build me. If I refuse to change with the seasons, then God will still build me, but He's going to give me a little bit of a harder time with it. Not that He will actually, but I will. See, I can kick against the pricks, but it's not going to do me a whole lot of good. I can kick against the change of seasons, but it won't do me a whole lot of good. Perhaps I get called on the mission field, or perhaps I get called into something else. It doesn't really matter what it is, but perhaps I am called to something. If I reject it, I am really rejecting the new season. By the same token, if I strive for it, I'm rejecting the old season. Don't reject either. Let God lead you into it. God has established before the foundation of the world a plan for each believer's life. That plan was based on what God's all-knowledge knew in His foreknowledge. He knew ahead of time what my decisions would be. He knew ahead of time what my successes and my failures would be. He knew what I would be like. He knew the circumstances that would surround me, and He established a plan, and that plan is made of seasons. I cannot reject the plan of God. I cannot reject the plan of God. I cannot step out of it any more than I can step out of the universe. I cannot step out of it. Because it was established by God, and He is bigger than I am. Now, the day will come when my wife will see her mom again. She misses her, but she will see her again. There will be a season for that. There will be a season where instead of being here in this room, we will be in another room. We will be in heaven, fellowshipping with one another. There will be a new season. When somebody goes home to be with the Lord, they have simply entered a new season. They have changed their address. They have moved to a different country. They have not died except physically. They have moved. It is an address change. There is a time of separation, and that time of separation is not pleasant, but it is not permanent if the person was a believer. If that person was a believer, then I know that when I go home to be with the Lord, if they were my friend, they will meet me at the gate. And when I get there to the gate, they will beckon me to come in. And I will enter into that gate, and I will walk along a street of gold. And God will stand at the throne, and He will welcome me into His kingdom. And I will enter the final season. This is a season that will never end. It is a season in which fellowship will not be broken. It is a season in which my friends will be my friends forever. They are still... See, one of the things about the changes of seasons is that they are not changes of relationships. My wife has the same relationship with her mother she has always had, except that right now they are living in different countries. We had that experience before. We went on the mission field for some time. We lived in Europe and her mom lived in America. Then we came back. And now her mom moved to a different country instead of us. And we will move there too one day. That will be the entrance into the final season. When I get to heaven, she's going to meet her there. She's going to meet me there. And she will beckon me to come into the gate. I don't know who else will meet me there. Personally, I think my friend Tony will meet me there. In our church, there was a pastor who died in 1997. His name was Pastor Palmer. Pastor Palmer was a teddy bear with a steel backbone. He was a sweet man who loved the body of Christ. He was very edifying and very loving. He died of a brain tumor. I believe that he will meet me at the gate. Years ago, I had a friend named Rocco. He was in his early 20s when he died of a massive heart attack. I believe he will meet me there. We are going home. when Tony died, shortly before he died, he said that he saw God. I believe him. He was not given to fanciful thoughts either. He was a down-to-earth guy. Stephen, when he died, he saw God standing at the throne. As we go home, God stands at the throne and He welcomes us home. This is not our home. We are sojourners here. We are passing through. And while we are passing through, we receive the word and we win the lost so that we can take them home with us. I think of Pastor Stephen sometimes. He's not well. I hope he has a long time before he goes home. I hope he gets raptured. But if he does not, then I am quite convinced that he will have a lot of people meeting him at the gate. Because he is literally responsible for the salvation of millions. He is also responsible for the discipleship of countless people. They will meet him at the gate. If he beats me home, he will meet me at the gate. You see, we are entering into the final season. Mustn't be afraid of its coming. Because if we are, then we're simply afraid of God's plan. And God's plan is a plan that was established by a God who loves. Although you miss the people who go home, although you miss them for that separation, you miss their fellowship and their company, it is only temporary. The season is coming. See, this is why the seasons change. This is why we were put here in the first place, so that we could go home. 70 years and out, or thereabouts. And then it's eternal. If you thought you had a friendship or a relationship here, it does not compare to what you will have there. Because here, we are under the constraints of the flesh. Imperfect bodies, imperfect minds, sin natures, lust patterns, problems. We are living in the curse. Hopefully we don't live in the curse per se, but there is a curse. It will not be there. The relationships that we have there are going to be far more pure and far more intimate and deep than the relationships we have here. I can't be afraid of the change of these other seasons. I can't be afraid to let them go. I can't be afraid to embrace the new ones. Because those are the plan of God. And God is the one who brings them and causes them to come to pass. If I am young, I cannot be afraid to become older, to grow up. If I am grown up, I cannot be afraid to become old. If I am old, I cannot be afraid to go home. I hope we all make it to old. But even if we don't, it's still just a season. We are here for a season, nothing more. We were not intended to be here longer, because we are intended to spend eternity with God. When Samuel was brought up, after having died, He was upset about being disturbed. And it wasn't that he was asleep. It was that he was in the paradise of God. He didn't want to leave that place. I have heard stories about near-death experiences where the person who was brought back was very upset about it. Why did you bring me back? There was one story I read in a book called Beyond Death's Door. This cardiologist had a patient in a hospital, and the patient was a believer, and he had a heart attack, and the doctors brought him back, and his heart was very unstable, and so he could sense the heart attack coming, and so they gave him in the intensive care unit a call button so that when he sensed it coming, he could press the button so the nurses and doctors could respond very quickly to help him. He said that every time he died, and he died several times and came back, an angel met him and took him over a beautiful city. Each time he would get farther and farther, and he would describe it in more and more detail. Each time he was less and less happy to come back because he wanted to stay. And then finally, he didn't press the button. He accepted the season. I don't know if what he did was right or wrong. It doesn't really make any difference. Not in this regard. He accepted the change of the season. You see, the beautiful thing about a walk with God is that the end is better than the beginning. At the beginning, I was born into a world of sin. At the beginning, I was born into a fallen body, frail, where death was working in it. Sin was reigning in my members. As I went through the seasons, that sin had less of an influence. I grew in the Word of God. But I cannot say that it has no influence. I still have a flesh, and sometimes it still creeps up on me, about 490 times a day. Not as bad as before, but still. I'm growing in Christ, but I will not be here. The day will come when I will receive a glorified body, one that is not corrupt, one that has no sin in it, and one that is not a body of death. It will be a better season. You see, this is why we are not afraid of that which is coming, because the end is better than the beginning. That which is coming is better than that which was. We are going home, plain and simple. We're going home. Whether we die and go home to be with the Lord, or whether we get raptured, and I for one want the rapture. I think the rapture sounds really darn good. I'm looking for the rapture. But regardless, we're going home. Regardless, we will never taste death. Regardless, whatever happens, fail or succeed, successful, like godly or ungodly, if I'm a born-again believer, I'm going home. And that's going to be my final season. When I am there, there will be not a season of change of this nature, but there will be one more event for the believer, or a few more, a couple more events. There will be the Bema Seat Judgment, the Judgment Seat of Christ, where the believer is evaluated by the Word of God. How did I respond to God's Word, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy? Did I store it in my heart? Did I make decisions through the Holy Spirit, motivated by the love of God. The judgment will not be, did I fail? Because my failures have been covered in the blood. It will be an evaluation on what did I do with what God has given me in response through the Holy Spirit. There will be the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride is given to the groom. There will be a reign, first 1,000 years, then heaven and earth will pass away, and then we will reign for eternity with Him. There will also be one more thing that I personally would rather avoid, but I know that I will not. Nobody will. Either I will be there as a believer in the grandstand, or I will be there as an unbeliever, where there is no place found for me. But there will also be the white throne judgment, the judgment of the unbeliever, where God will reveal to them every opportunity they had. I believe that we will be able to see them face to face, regardless of where we are in the grandstand. I believe that we believers who are in the grandstand will shed buckets of tears because that is the place where the unbeliever will receive his final reward, will be cast into the lake of fire in the outer darkness. Not the same as hell. Hell is in the center of the earth, and the heaven and the earth will pass away. The white throne judgment comes after that. After the white throne judgment, God will wipe away our tears and cleanse our memories. And the only thing that we will remember is that which is written in the book of remembrance. There will be a season where we will reign again in the new earth from the new Jerusalem, which is our home. There are scholars who believe that we will be able to go from the earth to the new Jerusalem and back at will. When the new earth is here, it will be populated by Israel, and we will reign. That will be our very last season. It is called the eternal reign. And we will reign with Him forever, if we reign with Him at all. See, here on earth, we don't like those seasons of suffering, but they are the seasons that cause us to be reigning with Him in the final season. Don't reject the seasons that God brings. They are from God. Don't be afraid of them just because they are difficult or unpleasant. They are from God. Don't be afraid to let go of other seasons with which you may have become accustomed and in which you may be comfortable. They cannot last forever. If you try to hold on to them, they will become very difficult. God's plan will take us through these, because His purpose is to conform us in those seasons to His image, so that when He marries His bride, she is a chaste virgin who has His character and His nature, and who can sit at His side as He is reigning in the eternal reign. The seasons will come because there is a time for them. There is a time for them to start, and there is a time for them to end, until the final season, and that will never end. Welcome the seasons, because they have been given to you as a gift. And every perfect gift, every good and perfect gift is from God. Amen.